Christian Parenting.
This is Cynthia Yanoff, and you're listening to Pardon the Mess. Each week, we have honest discussions about the ups and downs of parenting and the lessons God is teaching us along the way. It's real, it's fun, and it's biblical. Life is messy. Don't walk the parenting road alone. Hey guys, welcome to Pardon the Mess. It's Cynthia. I'm so glad you're joining us today. If you have been here many times and listened to Pardon the Mess, thanks for coming back and joining us. And if you're new, maybe this is your first time, welcome. Glad you're here. And so today we're going to talk to Christy Knuckles. I'll get to that in just a minute. But before we get there, I want to tell you something. I'm skipping back a few weeks to Easter, and I wanted to share like a moment in the house of the Yanoffs on Easter. And so we go to our old church at Christmas and Easter. I call us Creasters. You know what that is, right? The people who go to church on Christmas and Easter. We're Creasters at our old church. We go to a different one routinely, but we go back to our old church for those because my parents go to that church. But also I love the music. It's very formal, classical, all that. And so I just, for certain occasions, I like to be at our old church. And so we were there, we were getting ready to go for Easter. And I don't know what it is about Easter that makes me iron clothes, but it does. Like, I feel like it's irreverent to show up and worship Jesus. He is risen, you guys, for heaven's sakes. I can rise a little early and iron some clothes for Easter Sunday, especially when I'm going to our little more formal church. And so that's what I did. I got up and I was ironing some of our clothes, and one particular item that I was going to wear was like linen or something, and I could not get the wrinkles out of it. And so I went to the laundry room. I'm like, do we have any of that spray starch stuff? You know what I'm talking about? And clearly I haven't used it in a long time, so I don't even know if we have any. And listen, you guys, we're beyond like using the steamer. Like, I'm hardcore on ironing some stuff this morning, this Easter morning. And so I find spray starch. I come back in. I start spraying it all over clothes, and I'm like, man, this really does work. I don't know why I don't use starch more often. Probably because I never iron. And so I iron my stuff, iron my son's, my little boy stuff, and then I'm working on everybody else's clothes. And I notice, I'm like, man, that stuff is so fragrant. It's like my head's starting to hurt. What is going on? And after I finish, I can't get past the smell. I'm like, what does this remind me of? You guys, I finally actually looked at the can of spray starch I was using. And in fact, it was not spray starch. It was Lysol. It was Lysol. I was ironing with Lysol. And I don't know if you remember this from COVID, y'all that have been here a while. My husband went in total prepper mode during COVID and started buying like cans of Lysol anywhere he could find them. And I'm embarrassed to admit to you, I think we still probably have like 60 cans of Lysol in the top of our pantry, like just sitting there. Apparently there's one also in our laundry room, and that's what I used it for. So that's just like, I don't know if I'm giving you a hack that you can apparently use Lysol for spray starch, although I probably don't recommend it. But also I want you to know that we went to church and we were smelling clean. I mean, the Yanoff family was coming in strong with our scent on Easter morning. So there you go. That's my story from Easter, what was going on. And that was another fabulous fail on my part. But I do hope that going back again a few weeks that y'all had an awesome Easter. And I really hope you went to church that says, He is risen. And you got to say, He is risen indeed. Just my favorite. Okay, let's skip to today. Christy Knuckles is with us. And I got to see Christy Knuckles worship, lead worship at the IF Gathering here in Dallas with Jenny Allen and crew several months ago. And just, I mean, seriously, it's like what heaven is going to be like. I'm convinced when you worship with Christy Knuckles and you see how she worships the Lord and how she leads people to the Lord through that, I just feel like that's what's going to be, what it's going to be like when we're worshiping the Lord in heaven. And so it's really awesome to have her on today. We're going to chat about a new album she has out. We're going to talk about when you're burned out and what does that look like? How do you surrender your greatest fears and your greatest causes, the things that you want to do? How do you surrender that all to the Lord and rest in Him? And how do we help our kids, this next generation of our kids? How do we point them to the Lord? How do we help them rest in the Lord? All these different insights she has that are so awesome. So I'm thrilled she's here. I'm glad you're here. So let's kick it off with Christy Knuckles. Hey, Christy Knuckles, welcome back to Pardon the Mess. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so glad you're back. And okay, we got to break down something. You and I were both at the IF Gathering Jenny Allen's deal recently. And by both of us being there, I was sitting in the audience and you were sitting on the stage. Okay, so let's make that clear. You were leading worship and like, it was awesome. And the reason we need to break this down is because I need somebody to process this with, and we're not doing an ad for If, everyone, like literally, Jenny Allen doesn't know we're talking about this, but it was, I've never been before and it was so awesome. How many years have you done worship or been involved with If?
Yeah, so we determined that it's been 9 years because I've been a part of it since the very beginning. I led with a group of people from Jenny's church in the first couple of years, and then at some point, Jenny asked me to kind of spearhead it. And so my husband, Nathan, and I, we put the team together, which is a lot of leaders from all over, really, and a lot of girls leading. And especially, we have a girl drummer, a female drummer, I should say. She's a woman. She's not a girl. But we have
loved her.
Yeah, I know. She's incredible. We've just so enjoyed. It's almost like we're mom and dad, you know, to this whole group of worship leaders and musicians. And we have just so loved getting to spearhead that. And I loved getting to delegate. So many of those leaders, they could just lead the whole thing, you know, on their own. But it's fun to get to just help, you know, bring everyone together, cast vision, kind of mother and father. And yeah, it's just one of our favorite things.
It was so awesome. I enjoyed every second of it. And okay, so a couple things I just want to ask about this, and then I want to mention a couple things. But first of all, do you, and I know this is like going to be the weirdest question, then everyone's going to be like, why would you possibly ask this girl this question? It's Christy Knuckles. But do you tend to worship through, when not when you're leading worship, but like when you're in a church somewhere, do you worship more through the music typically or the speaking, or is it some combination? Like, where do you usually land?
Yes. Well, I think that, so if I'm leading a song, I definitely focus on what I'm saying. I focus on the lyric. I think that the music is always, you know, definitely adding. I mean, if my husband were sitting here, he would say like the music has just as much to do with, you know, the power of the lyric, but it's like the music is sort of this like cradle that the lyrics can sit in. And when I'm leading a song, I'm usually focusing on that lyric and kind of what I'm saying. And even I've heard it said, or maybe I said this once, of just like, it's almost like you are telling every lyric where to go, like as far as just in your mind, in your soul, as you're like, you know, saying these truths, really they're confessions, you know, they're not just words on a screen. It's not just us singing a popular worship song together. It's us making confessions together as the body of Christ. And worship is a practice that is ages old. And it's beautiful, I think, when you can, you know, not just have it be a time to sing a modern worship song, but it's like, okay, these are declarations and confessions that I'm making and I'm believing and I'm singing out loud. I'm saying it out loud. And I always say, believe it, you know, even louder than you can sing it, you know? And so that's usually how I worship. And I know that, you know, whatever it is I'm needing to lay down in front of the Lord as I'm leading, sometimes even, I'm just using those lyrics as a way to do that. So
I can see that in you, because I could see while you're leading worship, just like even when you're on your knees and you're just pouring out. And I tend to really worship through music as well, as more, I want to say spectator, but nobody's really a spectator in that when you're worshiping. But it's hard with the If, because the speakers were so good. And so like there was these moments like, and I won't go into the long story, but I wasn't even supposed to be an If. I didn't even buy a ticket, but a friend bought a ticket that she held onto. I mean, I said, no, I can't tell you how many times I said, no, I really can't make it. I'm supposed to be out of town, all these things. And she's like, I just know you're supposed to be there. She's like, and so she just held onto this ticket, held on this ticket. Finally, I was like, well, I got to go. It's like, there's God. And so there were so many incredible moments, but I just want to share with you one moment that I thought was so powerful. And then I'm going to ask you if you had a moment like that, but it's Christine Kane. And I mean, you know, you guys, it's Christine Kane, and like, she can say nothing and still like have a call to action. And you're like, she's incredible. But she said this, we were talking about the 23rd Psalm the whole weekend. And she was talking about, surely goodness and mercy are following me. And she did kind of a funny little skit about what does that look like with surely goodness and mercy. But if we could believe, if we really believe that surely goodness, God's goodness and mercy are following us, then like, why are we living paralyzed in fear? Like, why are we shrinking back? Why are we not chasing after the things we're called to do? And she left it with this. She said, the issue is not like, will I die one day? Like that's, we're all going to die, right? 100% certainty. But really the issue is, will I live the one and only life I've been given? And like, that was just such a powerful call to action in that moment. I felt like, and I was like, yes, like, yes. I'm just wondering, like, what about you? Like, did that resonate? What was your moment?
Yes. Well, I feel like this year more than ever, I mean, we always lock in backstage. I mean, there's a green room back there, but you know, we're all quiet back there because there's a huge screen and we're able to listen to all the speakers. And I think for me, just I remember David Platts very well. Also Sadie and even John Mark Comer. Like, yeah. I feel like there was this thread with most of the people who led. Everyone seemed to talk about adversity and what they had been through. And it was almost like as they were speaking, I was able to go, uh-huh, yes, yes. And I think probably everyone in the room was going, yes, yes. Like identifying, especially David Platt. I mean, I told him afterwards, I said, I could even like sense between the lines of what like you weren't saying. And even that was powerful. You know, it's like how the Lord ends up using our adversity is incredible. At the time, I think for all of us, I mean, it has felt like an enormous cost. I know that Sadie talked about that, how it, you know, especially when it affects your kids and you're just like, oh no, enemy, like, oh no, Satan, like you're not going to like start touching my kids. And that's when it gets really, really dicey when you're just like, okay, do I really believe this? Like, am I really like going to keep going here when it feels like the more good I do, the harder it gets. And so I think it felt like a lot of us were comparing notes of what even like 2021 in particular had felt like for a lot of leaders. I know for me, at the end of that, I was about to quit at the end of 2021. I literally was like, I quit. Like I can't do this anymore. Like, Lord, you've called me to this, but it feels like I have this tiny little megaphone to kind of reach the world. And it feels like right now I had had a year's worth of physical ailments that I had been working through. And my mom has been battling cancer. And there were days that I just felt like I couldn't even get up to do the basics, much less, you know, try to like write this album and which was just what was currently on my plate, that we felt the Lord wanted us to do. And, but, you know, traveling and sharing the gospel and just putting one foot in front of the other and keeping on going. And, I think for me, it was so encouraging because it was just like, okay, like you've been through this too. And you are choosing in the midst of like the hardest part to say, okay, Jesus, I still choose you. Even if you don't lift this, I still choose you. And I had a moment like that literally probably exactly 1 year ago this week, on the porch, with the Lord after I was just like, wow, I quit, you know, but I was just like, okay, Lord, I mean, it felt like the Psalms out there on the porch where I was just literally like crying out to him. And I remember just being, you know, after about, you know, 30 minutes of just like conversing with him, I was by myself and I was just like kind of wailing. I mean, like whining and wailing and just lamenting. And I just remember going like, what do you want me to do? And he just in my heart of hearts, like before I could even get that phrase out, I just heard him say this is what I want you to do. I want you to come to me and I want you to cry out to me and I want you to converse with me and talk to me and come home to my heart. I'm your father. You are my daughter. And this really is what I want from you. All the other stuff is awesome. But if you're not coming home to my heart and staying here, then I don't know how you're going to call anyone else to keep coming home to my heart. And so I think as all of us leaders, it was just this time to kind of go like, okay, so we're still in this, right? Like we choose him, we love him, come what may, and like we're gonna, you know, keep coming home to his heart where we find the strength that prevails.
So that's so good. And I think it was such a resonating message amongst the people that were leading. I mean, I know Jenny Ellen talked a lot about that as well. It's just that feeling of wanting to quit, but I think it resonates with everybody. Platform, no platform, raising kids, whatever you're doing. I think we've all lived in this sense at some point or another, and maybe we're still in it, that sense of like, I'm done. This is exhausting. I'm tired. And I love that you're talking out just that honesty of it and sitting on the porch and crying out to the Lord and doing the things of the Psalms and us normalizing that and saying, that's okay to do that. Mm-hmm. And I thought another really important moment, that Jenny Allen mentioned that I just would want to share with people as we're talking through this is she talked about, she'd had a dream and she was not giving some prophetic message about the end of time, but this dream, and I'm just paraphrasing, but basically she was ready to give up and her friends were praying over her. And then she had a dream that night, just that the Lord was talking about, like, what if the end of the earth, our earthly time is in 10 years? Like, what if that was the end? Like, what urgency would she have? And that just stuck with me, this urgency for all of us, whether it's platform, whether it's leading music, whether it's raising our kids, whether it's running our law firm or whatever our things are, like living with a sense of urgency, knowing like if it was 10 years out or 5 years out or 20 years out, the end of time, I mean, it is real. And so how does that propel us forward today? And I just thought that was such a good word for all of us in the midst of the exhaustion and all the things. We can be honest about it, but then we can also live with a sense of there is urgency and now is not the time to walk away from it, right?
Have you guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time, but I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling, and I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is IXL is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and IXL customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And pardon the mess, listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately, but did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers, this one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable, and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards, so it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember she told me that a little bit before If, and I had already, it resonated with me because, I mean, the album that I just put out is called This Is the Hour. And even when I sent her that and what had been like, even like the visions that had come along with these songs, I was seeing like pioneer times. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, that's why we did the photo shoot out on some land. In fact, it was the same land where the series 1883 was filmed. Some of our friends own that land. And we just thought that would be like symbolic of just like we're pioneering a moment here that is, history repeats itself. But you and I are still new to this moment. But also like I don't know that it's ever been this dark or it's ever been this hard. And we are just in a cultural moment where it's unique to us. And it is unique to the fact that it does seem like, you know, if you look at scripture and prophecy being fulfilled, I mean, whether Jenny was, you know, trying to say something prophetic or not, it's like, okay, we're running out of things like that are supposed to happen before actually like he comes back. And so, you know, it's a little bit like, wow, it's challenging, like you said. And I think, how does it propel us forward? I think for me personally, I've said this even out loud, that I think I feel over being about just building a career, you know, or building like a music platform or career. I just feel like now what I want to be in it about is that music and whatever you're doing, you know, like you just said, you listed all these things that, you know, even you listeners, just whatever it is that God has called you to, I think more and more we're to look at it as this partnership with the Holy Spirit, it more than ever, and not building our own thing, but going, okay, how are we partnering with the Holy Spirit right now today in whatever it is that the Lord has asked us to do? And I think there's that element too of just like surrendering ourselves to be built rather than building something, but being built as that priesthood that we're called in scripture. And what does it look like to be surrendered? Somebody asked me just recently, like, Chrissy, you've been doing this like 25 plus years. And like, what's the secret to longevity? And I was like, I think it's just literally like finding what surrender looks like in every season. And sometimes that looks like pedal to the metal and you are like going and you're doing things outside your comfort zone. And sometimes I think it looks like pulling back and resting, or even just like laying something down that the Lord's asking you to lay down. So I think it's just, I keep just picturing like laser focus, you know, and just being nimble and like, you know, having that resilience. I think about just pioneer people, like how resilient they had to be and just nimble and like ready to face whatever danger. And so, yeah, there was just something to that. And then just there was this, there's a lantern even on the front of the cover of This Is the Hour. And that lantern is supposed to really like represent like our faith. And so I just felt compelled more than ever too. I mean, just thinking about, you know, if he really does come back in 10 years, it's like, you know, there's that parable in Matthew 25 where Jesus talked about the 10 bridesmaids and how, you know, half of them were casual with the oil and they didn't have enough. And the other half, they were like vigilant. They were like laser focused about the oil so that they would have enough so that they could go and meet the bridegroom. And you think about, wow, that's, you know, there's a line even in one of the songs, the opening song, that says, you know, spend all that you have on the oil that keeps your flame lit until the day that he comes. And so I think there's just like a new awareness and like, even like sober, you know, sobriety, like to the voice of God, in these days, and making sure we're locking in with that. I think that's just, that's what's on my heart.
And so, yeah, the new album is, This is the Hour. And it's beautiful. I mean, everything you do is beautiful. Let's talk about this whole idea of pioneering. What do we, and we've kind of touched on this, but what does pioneering, you think, look like for us? Because yeah, it's kind of, and I think, you know, Texas, and I, of course, because I'm in Texas, but you know, I think of the land and, you know, maybe some of the dangers. And we think of all this idea of pioneering, like you were just saying, but like, what is pioneering for us, like on a normal day? And what has been your experience? What is your feedback on this? And people saying, yeah, I'm trying to pioneer in the everyday, and how are we doing that for the Lord?
Yeah. Well, I think about, you know, immediately I just think about like the generation that's coming up behind us, and even Gen Z right now. You know, my daughter who's 15, they're experiencing a revival in their school, and she's coming home daily. And even just the other night went to a Bible study that someone just started, and they're, you know, it's like hearing her is challenging me, you know, in this hour, like just really remembering that, our kids, they want and desire and long for spiritual experiences. And so some spiritual experiences, you know, cannot be of the Lord. And, you know, we can kind of see, you know, they're longing for that and kind of even, you know, maybe dabbling in things they don't need to be in. But like, I think about just how important it is to talk about pioneering, but I think just like going back to the Word of God and not being afraid to come around truth. And I think they're so, it's just been reminding me how hungry they are for it. And a lot of times, you know, teenagers, even middle schoolers are, you know, they'll take our word for it until they can take his word for it. I think there's a moment a little bit later on when they're 18, 19, and 20, where yes, their faith is going to have to become their own. But I think right now, my goodness, like I've just been reminded even this week of just how hungry Gen Z is, and like the, you know, not even just my daughter, but her friends, and all three of my kids, they are, they're longing for the things of the Lord right now. And I think what their generation needs most of all, and I think just what comes to mind as you ask that, like just about being a pioneer in these times, I just thought immediately of the Word of God and just the importance it is for us to come back to that wholly and completely. And, it's interesting, you know, you would think, you know, my kids, they're 15, 20, and 22. And you would think, you know, they were raised around music and stages and tours. And, you know, we were part of passion conferences for 20 years. And all those things are, you know, beautiful. And it's wonderful to get to be a part of those big arena moments. But I find that my kids, what they're craving right now is the small, and they're craving reverence. What I see them after is like they want what's real, and they actually want what's reverent. And I think about just a call in this hour to come back to those things. And I think that's beautiful. And they, again, have like challenged us recently. We've just ended up at this tiny little church that my son found because it was just, it was, the messages were like really challenging him. And you know, the worship on Sunday morning is, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, it's just what they're craving is just, there's just like a couple of people on guitars up there, you know, and it's just so kind of stripped back. And I see that moment too of just like not being afraid of small right now. And that the Holy Spirit, I see him moving in that way. These deep wells kind of all over the earth, like I see him moving in the small. And I think just not being ashamed or afraid of the small in our lives and how the Lord can really show up in that in such a powerful way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. And as a mom of a high school and a college kid, I also have a kindergartner, but my older kids, I see, I hear what you're saying, especially with my college kid. And, you know, she's at a university here in Texas that is, not Christian and very, very secular. And so I, when I get to go to church with her and I see, it's a lot of her generation there at church and the way they're worshiping the Lord in not a fancy church, a church that didn't even have its own building. They meet in a school, but the way they worship and the authenticity, and this isn't the cool place to be. Like you're there because you love the Lord, because this isn't something that would be held in high esteem, in particular at this university. And so just seeing the authenticity and the realness of that is like, it is, it's really, it is, it's beautiful. And you're right. It's in those smaller places. And those are things I think we can be talking to our kids about, like, you know, what's real in your faith? What do you see that, that you love that draws you to the Lord that we're doing as a family? How can we help you pursue the Lord? I mean, just being willing to dig into those moments, because it's so easy to look at these next generations down and we don't, cause we're parents, but you know, people throw their hands up and like, oh my gosh, are these people lazy, or they don't care, or they don't have values. But like, I love that you're like digging into that and seeing like what they're really about, and it's God-given and it's important. I'm jumping in here for just a minute to thank Classical Conversations for being a sponsor on today's podcast. You guys, if you are trying to homeschool, you know that it can be intimidating. Maybe you're thinking about that. It can be hard, but the best part of the program with Classical Conversations is that you do not have to do it alone. You have others who support you, connect you with others on your homeschooling journey. And simply put, Classical Conversations is there to help you be the best educator for your child. And so they make homeschooling easy by providing a consistent roadmap to follow at your own pace. You use the classical method of learning, Christ-centered curriculum, and they have resources that equip parents like you and like me to feel confident as their child's teacher. They really believe that doing life in community is the perfect accountability and structure for learning. And so this family-friendly approach to homeschooling covers K-4 through college credit. It even includes college degree opportunities for parents. And so if you're interested in this, please check it out. ClassicalConversations.com/joy. Again, ClassicalConversations.com/joy. And then also I want to tell you about Adventures in Odyssey Club. Summer's always tough, you guys, for us to keep our kids active and stimulated. And so the Adventures in Odyssey Club gives kids and families a fun and interactive way to grow in their faith while also enjoying biblically based activities. And so there's nearly 1,000 audio episodes and also members only content, games, activities in this Adventures in Odyssey Club. And so it's kind of your best friend during the summer months and really after that as well. And so it's trustworthy, it's a safe environment for kids to listen, interact, and grow in their spiritual walk. It's excellent entertainment for Christian parents to offer their kids. And so check it out. You can get a free trial by going to adventuresinodyssey.com/pardonthemess. Again, adventuresinodyssey.com/pardonthemess. Summer is coming fast, and so we want really good content for our kids, and this is a great way to get it. Check it out. You said something that I have a question about. You said, and I loved it, you said, we're talking about how important it is that we return home to our Father's heart. Hmm. And I was thinking about that. And I wonder, I know you grew up in a really strong Christian home, and as did I. And I'm wondering, what does that look like as believers? How do we return to God's heart? And how does how do we make sure our connection to God is what the Lord would want it to be? Because I think in the hustle and bustle, I know in the hustle and bustle, we miss it. I miss it all the time. And I have a lot of head knowledge, and it's super disconnected at times from the heart knowledge, like who God really is. And so my husband, who didn't grow up a believer, and there's no believers in his family still to this day, like, he gets it. I feel like even a lot better than I do most of the time, because he doesn't have this whole lifetime of walking with the Lord. And so there's such urgency in what.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to Shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's Shopify.com/firstsale.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That is now. And so I would just love for you to speak into that. Like, as a person that's grown up as a believer, what does that look like? How do you reconnect with the Lord? And how have you walked that in ways that have worked and ways that haven't?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually it's kind of neat. I actually wrote a book about this. It's called The Life You Long For. And, I tell my story of being,
there we go, everyone.
And the little like subtitle is Learning to Live from a Heart of Rest. And, I was a preacher's kid, you know, as you said, I was just raised in the church. And, I tell my story about how I kind of thought young motherhood was going to be the season where I could just sort of strap my kids on and keep going at the same pace that I was going. And of course, I hit a wall of exhaustion, and I believe that God allowed me to hit a wall. And that's what ended up happening. You know, this was like a call home to his heart. This was like early 30s for me. I'll never forget, I was upstairs in our home, and I was cleaning a toilet of all things. You know, they say that in the scripture
of course,
the men went out to meet with God in all of these, you know, amazing places like, you know, the burning bush and in the wilderness and things. But you know, that God always met women right where they are. And that's what happened to me that day. I was cleaning this toilet and I began to have this desire to come home. I was tired. And I think that's just, sometimes I think that the Lord does really like let us hit that wall. And at the time it was just sort of this physical desire to actually like come off the road and rest. And as I went downstairs though, I knew that the Lord was speaking to me, and I opened my Bible, Psalm 37, actually just, I did that thing where you just let your Bible fall open wherever it'll fall. And I'm like, okay, I know
right.
Lord,
we've all
you're
done
speaking
it.
To
fine.
Me.
Yeah.
And it opens to Psalm 37, which is actually how I was saved when I was seven. We had these wall plaques in our house and each one of us had one. And mine said, Christy, follower of Christ, which is what my name means. And it had a verse under each name. And mine was Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And so I memorized that. And as a little kid, I wrote that on everything. And I'll never forget one night in church, my dad was preaching and I gave my mom a little note and it said, you know, that verse, commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. And she had the wisdom in that moment to turn it over. And she wrote me back and she said, yes, if Christy gives her heart to Jesus, he will show her the way to go. And that's what the Holy Spirit used that night. And, you know, fast forward all these years later where I'm, you know, sitting at my farm table, I call it my farm table epiphany, as the Lord brought me back to really my gospel story when I thought about it. You know, he's for a reason. I was like, okay, he's bringing me back here on purpose, you know, and having me remember this. And of course that verse 4, right before that, we all know it, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Lord. But that word give actually jumped off the page at me as if I'd kind of read it for the first time. And I read it to mean kind of like, it was almost twofold. It was like, I'll give you the desires of your heart, Christy, meaning like I'm the fulfiller of all your desires, but also I'll show you what your desires are in every season. Like I'm also the instiller. He's like instiller and fulfiller of our desires and longings. And I was like, okay, I'm listening. You know, it's like, I'm paying attention here. And then I read on to the verse that changed my life. Commit thy way. Of course, that was King James. This was like, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. And he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. And so I read that and I sat there and I'll never forget just hearing that still small voice. And I heard him say, Christy, do you trust me with your cause? And I was like, what does that mean? You know, and as I sat there, you know, my cause at that point in my life was my career and, but not just my career. Since I was a little girl, I was like, I'm supposed to use my voice to make, you know, God famous and make him known and to lift him up and glorify him. And is that a good thing? Absolutely. Like, we, you know, he's given us all a cause. Like maybe some of you, it keeps you up at night. He's put those things in you. But for me, I was spinning my wheels, and kind of just in that pace of just like, I'm doing this for God. Like I'm going to keep going. And I really believe what God was calling me to come home to his heart was, yes, but I want you to do this from me, not necessarily for me. I want you to live for me, yes, but you've got to learn to live from me if you're going to live for me. And I realized, you know, like I know how to sing for him, but I don't know how to sit with him. And so it was like this call, you know, on my life to just like really come home and really truly understand what it looks like to live like God's kid, like live like a daughter of God. And what does this look like? You know, and I'll never forget, he brought back a conversation to me as I was in Psalm 37 that I'd had with a friend a couple of months before that, where she had told me when I was leading worship one night, she was like, I have no idea, but she came up to me afterwards and she said, I had my eyes closed tight the whole time you were leading. And she was like, I kept seeing this bullseye in concentric circles. And she was like a target sign. She was like, I have no idea. I just kept seeing it over and over. And I was like, okay, thanks. But as I'm sitting here with my Bible open.
Weird. Okay.
But now, I mean, we've been friends for 20 years and I totally get her now. And I'm like, okay, I have no doubt that you saw that, you know, in your mind's eye. And but I'm sitting here and that comes back to me as I have Psalm 37 open and the Lord just says so clear. He's like, Christy, just hit the bullseye. He's like, I'll take care of all these outer rings of your life and I'll show you my glory if you will just come home and just hit the bullseye with me. He's like, I've got the rest. Like, literally, I will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. But just commit everything you're doing to me. And so it was this beautiful call. And of course, as you can imagine, he's just been unpacking that with me ever since, you know. It's not like I have it figured out, it's just, that's where he was like, okay, this is the lens. It's not like there's no new truth under the sun. It's like, it's just a different lens in order to look at age old truth. I mean, like John 15, what it looks like to abide. I just feel like that's the bullseye and really trusting the Lord. And my goodness, it feels like the book honestly was like me just talking about God's faithfulness through the years to actually do what he said. Like he showed up in ways that I never even imagined he would in those outer rings of my life. And it's been beautiful to watch. Yeah.
I mean, all of that is so beautiful. And if I recall, and you may have talked a little bit about this last time you were on the show, but remind me, I think I'm right in this, that you talked about once you kind of let go of that sense of like the hustle or the business or the crazy, like I have to do it all on my own. Like after that toilet bowl moment, like in that, like, the Lord just opened opportunities that are crazy. Like you never could have orchestrated, you never could have dreamed. You saw how he really is, again, so faithful, right?
Yes. I mean, he gives back, you know, and that's what's just, I think, compels me moving forward of even what we were talking about, you know, a minute ago of just like that surrender piece, because I've just watched him be faithful with that. And sometimes I'm just like, I think he's so pleased by our worship and when we lift him up. But I was looking at a lyric of a song that I used to love in college, but it just like, but I think he's actually more honored in what I'm willing to lay down. And he shows up in that when you give him the space to go like, okay, God, I'm counting on you to show up. And then it was like, oh my goodness, did he ever show up? Yes. And it made me realize that like he actually dreams bigger dreams for us than we could ever dream for ourselves.
Yeah.
And not that like traveling, you know, was like just the end all, but I mean, I ended up just going to every continent after that, except Antarctica. But I mean, just like literally getting to see the nations worship, you know, and just in connections that I never would have dreamed that, you know, I couldn't have ever planned for myself. And so it was just so beautiful to watch him, you know, give back like 100-fold, like anything that I had laid down and then just so far beyond. It's like, you know, immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Yeah. He shows up.
Imagine.
So it doesn't mean that life was perfect and, you know, not hard as well, but I mean, goodness, like you get to see him show up in it and it's really beautiful.
It is beautiful. And that's a reminder we all need. And I feel like that was a reminder that started at if and is like continuing into now as we're still talking about this in my own life, but I think also in my parenting life. And I think as we wrap up, I would love for you to speak in this too, but there is a real need and a challenge for us to help our kids learn to surrender, like you're talking about, because everything in us and everything, the culture around us wants to push harder and work harder and achieve and all these things. And even though I think academically, we don't think that as believers for our kids, but that's really what the result of our actions can be, is that we're teaching them achieve, work harder, do harder, compete well, all the things. And if we could even give them a glimpse, like of what it took us both years and years and years to get, and we still don't fully get it, but start planting in their hearts this idea of surrender, because in that surrender is where the Lord is the strongest and the biggest and the most real. And so just challenge us as parents, and maybe just if there are things that have reworked the way you look at parenting after all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that especially with having a 22 and 20-year-old boy and a girl, we have been learning lately a lot. especially as we really have yeah. just one yeah. more at home right now. And we're realizing, you know, our time with her is like fleeting. It's so fast. But I think that, you know, I know this probably sounds a little bit generic, but it hasn't been generic in our lives. I mean, we've realized that that prayer is actually our very first defense, and also like our mm-hmm. offense, you know? And I think, you know, for a while it was just kind of like, oh, you know, we prayed more like a knee jerk reaction, unfortunately. But now we find ourselves like, you know, praying like on the offense and asking the Lord for things, because I think with olders, it's that fine line where they're at this place in their lives where we value actually other adults speaking into their lives. And so when they can find another mentor, someone, you know, another voice that can call up things in their life, you know, we encourage that and we ask the Lord for that. And he's been so faithful to even bring that. But I also think about how, you know, we can say it to them so many times, but what we found is that actually just modeling it is where the power is, mm-hmm. because it keeps us surrendered too. And it keeps us like in this place of like, okay, yeah. you know, sometimes we need to zip our lip and we need to say like, okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. And as we model surrender, as in this, like literally, like almost like circumstance by circumstance and situation by situation, like literally like, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. And as we model this, Lord, would you make it apparent to our kids that they give them eyes to see, you know, and ears to hear mm. what you're doing. And of course yeah. we're sharing, you know, but it's not like a talking at, it's more like, goodness, like we just want to share with y'all, like what God's doing right now. Mm-hmm. And really being transparent with them about how, you know, not like lumping our hurt on them or our, you know, anything we're going through that's heavy, but more just like, we identify with you, or bringing up times, you know, that we went through that when we were in college, and just like, here's how I felt like the Lord showed up for me. And I wonder if like, you might have eyes to see him showing up for you in that way, you know? And so that feels like where we're really amazing. Learning right now. And I mean, just this past week, we had a specific instance where one family member was headed somewhere, and the other four of us, we sat and prayed for that family member. And we asked for something really, really specific. Mm-hmm. And we didn't tell that family member what we prayed. And all we know is that, you know, she came home and she basically said, here's what has happened and here's what the Lord is saying. And we were just blown away that it was literally like word for word
wow.
what we had asked for her. And it was so sweet for our kids, you know, the other two kids, to get to go like, oh my gosh, that's exactly mm-hmm. what we prayed for. And so just watching their faith mm-hmm. be built in that moment was just like priceless. Mm-hmm. And that makes you just go, mm-hmm. okay, thank you, God, you are here. You are with us. You are leading us. Mm-hmm. And just such
You're
a
real,
great,
yeah.
Yeah, like testament to just mm-hmm. who he is, and that he really does hear us when we mm-hmm. come to him and ask specifically.
Oof, that's so good. Well, you guys, everyone listening, yes, This Is the Hour is the new album that Christy Knuckles has out, and you need to go and listen and all the things with that. Can I be dumb for a minute, Christy? Like, what am I asking them to do? Do we want to download it? We want to tell me what do we do with this exactly?
Well, as far as This Is the Hour, the album, you can listen wherever you listen to music. You can stream it on any platform digitally that you, yeah. So,
okay, perfect. And then also, you guys, if you don't know this, well, then I felt dumb. I was like, go buy the album. Like, what am I saying exactly? And then I felt bad about saying streaming, because I'm like, are we ripping you off if we stream it? I had to go through this whole thing in my head just now.
Oh my goodness. Streaming is the way of the world, and there's no way to fight it anymore, unless you maybe good. Are Taylor Swift, but I'm not. So, but you can buy a CD. If you still love CDs, you can buy a CD okay. on christyknuckles.com, and I cheer you on because I get it. And our daughter, she designed the whole CD. So.
Oh, that's so fun. That's so fun. Okay. So y'all stream This Is the Hour. But also, if you don't know this, Christy has a podcast. It's called The Glorious and the Mundane. And it's awesome too. And there's a new season rolling right now. Is that correct?
Yes. It comes back this week in April. Yeah. So we're excited.
Fabulous. Well, Christy, I loved every moment of worshiping with you at IF and seeing all that you're doing. And I love that you have this new album out that's beautiful. And you just speak so real about the good, the hard, everything in between. And just thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Friends, I'm so grateful that you were with us today, and I'm sure you're embarrassed for me that I was asking her what it means to download an album versus stream and all the things. And so there you have it, right? But be sure and check out her new album. It really is amazing, and it's called This Is the Hour. Also, Glorious in the Mundane is her podcast if you want to check that out as well. We know your days are busy. As always, thank you for joining us as we pardon the mess.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.